Hey, 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 y'all know what time it is. It's In Real Time with Real Refined.
Welcome to the space where faith and mindset meet up. Tap in.
What's up, Real Refined fam? It's your girl T and Bree, and we are back with another episode.
Another one.
Okay. Okay, so we all have heard the saying, it ran into my family until it ran into me. And I feel like it's a very cute and even a powerful saying. But what about the reality of what it means to break generational curses? How do we identify a generational curse? It's a lot of weight to carry when you have to break a pattern. So that's what we're going to get into today. So Bree, when you hear generational curse, because this is something that not just people in church, this is something that people in general talk about. What comes to mind when you hear that word?
I always think about a cycle. I think about, and it's a toxic cycle where you're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And it takes somebody to just say, wait a minute, I don't want to be on the hamster wheel anymore. Let me make a change. Let me do something different. And it could be anything. It could be the way that you communicate. It could be any other toxic habits. But when we think about breaking generational curses or just changing the narrative in general, it takes intentionality. But it takes awareness to say, look, there are certain things that happen in my childhood, in my adulthood, where I don't want to now do that with my children. Right. So that's the it for me. That there were certain things that have happened, and there are certain things that I didn't like in my childhood that I don't do with my children. My children have a voice. I didn't feel like I had much of a voice as a child.
Yeah.
It was, you need to listen to me, and that's it. Because I said so, and that's it.
Yeah.
Right? But with my children, teaching them about their emotions, to me, that breaks the barrier of communication.
Yeah.
So when I think about generational curses, it's not all about the bad stuff. It's those little fine things that when they grow up, they can have healthy boundaries. They can know what a boundary is. They can have healthy communication. They can know what it means to communicate your feelings and to know that it's okay, especially for young men. It is okay to cry. It is okay to just feel like you're upset. One thing with what I do with my children, and I love that I do, is that when they're upset about something, it's okay that you're angry, but how you respond, that's the key. So you can't go and throw all your stuff around the room because you're mad. You can't go stumping off. Communicate. What is wrong?
Yeah.
You know, so when I think about that, it's just, what can I change? And it's hard.
Yeah.
Because you only know what you know. You know how people say, like, you're a product of your environment? I believe that's true.
It is.
And there are certain conversations that my mom did not have with me, or my dad did not have with me, that I have with my children. And I feel like if I had those conversations as a child, there would be some things that are different. You know what I'm saying? So what about you? What are your thoughts with that?
Well, before I go into that, I just want to attest to the fact that this is real. Like, I've seen Bree do this in real time on the phone with her kids.
Yeah.
And I always am like, you have so much patience. And, you know, I am, you know, not a mother yet. And it's just very interesting to see with a lot of my friends that are mothers, and just I have a lot of amazing women in my life that are mothers, to see the kind of difference in the dynamic of how y'all parent your children compared to the way that we all know most of us were parenting.
Yeah.
And I think they call it gentle parenting. And I mean, of course, we like to put a label on everything, but I just think that it's essentially breaking a toxic cycle of the way that parenting was done before us. And I want to say, when it comes to parenting, that, you know, we're fully aware of the fact that every generation of parents did the best that they could, right?
Yeah, from what they knew.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's amazing to see that there are people that were raised one way and they made a conscious decision and effort to do it differently with their children. They've recognized, okay, I turned out okay, but this, I didn't like how it felt when it was me, so I'm going to be conscious of not doing that with my children. I think that is amazing. That's been one of the things, ooh, y'all in my business, that I think has made me afraid, and I don't feel that way anymore as much. To have children is, I thought that I was going to parent and make my children feel the way that I felt sometimes as a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do that, because I feel like even now, in a lot of areas, I lack patience. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to my kids or make them feel like I don't have a, you know, like to sit down and explain it to them. And I don't mean as a little kid, of course, like my parents were extremely patient. But, you know, just as you get older and, you know, you're going through different changes and, you know, you're dealing with different issues at school and you get a little rebellious, you get curious about things, like the patience to really sit down and say, hey, this is what life was like for me when I was your age. So I get it. And these are my standards and rules for you.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love to hear and see. And I know for you, I have actually witnessed you. If your childhood was not what you do with your children, I've seen you break that. And I'm just now recognizing that's pretty dope
that you did that.
But yeah, when it comes to generational curses, I think that... I think that generational curses are, like I said, it's something that everybody talks about, but I think sometimes we don't recognize the full scope of it.
Yeah.
So generational curses are the result of what I would say are generational iniquities. So there are things that people or sins that people have done that we have like, I can't think of the word right now, but we have a habit or we have a natural inclination or a natural leaning to that can lead to certain outcomes. One of the main things that comes to my mind, especially in the Black community, and I'm sure in other cultures, is like our relationship with food. That is something that because of lack of self-control and, you know, and I'm sure in a lot of ways, like lack of resources and things like that. But for a lot of us, lack of resources is not the thing. It's just we have developed a habit of this is how we eat. This is what we do. You know what I'm saying? Oh, we don't do that. We don't do hiking. We don't do that. And that's more so the older generations. Yeah. But even something as simple and as natural as that, because that doesn't seem very spiritual, right? But that mindset of this is how we do things, it can lead to an outcome such as health issues. We have, I know there's not a Black family that I know that does not have people that suffer from diabetes, high blood pressure, and a plethora of other health problems. And I really think that it's a result of us having a certain mindset that we're not willing to change when it comes to our relationship with food and health and, you know, making sure that we're actually going to the doctor to get checked for things.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
You know, I think that that's really important. I think that's a huge part of, like you said, the awareness. So where do you think, what are the areas, like what is it that we're looking for? Or what are the signs that, you know, this is not just a one-off thing, but that this might actually be a generational curse? Because a lot of times when we're talking about generational curses, we're only looking as far as our parents. We don't look outside of our house. Like, it's not just your parents' stuff. It's your aunts and uncles. It's your grandparents. It's your great-grandparents. It's your cousins. It's what are the patterns. So when you're looking to be aware of what's in your family, like, what are some of the things that you would look for?
Oh, goodness. I think it's important to actually be intentional and look for those things that just does not seem right. There's just certain things that we just know that's not right. Like molestation. We know that's not right.
Oh, my God.
But it's extremely common.
Yeah.
Or like I said, communication. One generational curse that I'm intentional about breaking in my family is the awareness of mental health. And I know as a child, I was not taught about depression. Even as a teen, I didn't have the conversations about depression and anxiety or any other, you know, mental illness. I just think it just takes an intentional look at what is not right.
Yeah.
What is just not working? Are these the same cycles, the same things happening over and over again? Generational curses require all of us in our family to say, you know what, this is not right. This, we don't want to continue this on to our next generation. So let's just nip this in the bud right here.
Yeah.
It's intentionality. And I think we're afraid to do that because that one bold person that says it is now the black sheep, or you're being different. And I'm not being different. I just don't want to operate like this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it goes so many different ways.
Yeah.
I just think, again, intentionality. We can't be afraid.
Yeah.
To use our voices, you know?
That's important. I think especially, and you kind of mentioned it, but I think it should be put out there, like, especially when it comes to like incest, rape, molestation in families. Like that is something that is so common. And like they you said, speaking up is the thing that I feel like allows those cycles and those things to continue. That is an example. The fact that the first family member did that, because often what you'll find, and I'll just be transparent, what I found in my family was the one day that there was a conversation about it. And I don't remember if the family member said it first or I said it first, but one of us said it first. And we found out that the same distant cousin had done it to both of us. Mm. And I think that that silence is what allows those things to continue.
Yep.
And then the first person that chooses to kind of, for lack of better words, scratch the itch in that way with who's most available and vulnerable around them, that begets a generational iniquity.
All right, y'all. Hold that thought. We will be right back.
In 2000, EST. O-C-O-E-E. I'm trying to take it higher than I ever been. They like, hello, how you mix the music with the medicine? Light on Thomas Edison. You don't know if you believe, look at my life, it's evidence. Look at my life, it's evidence. Kick the demons out, no, you can't stay up in my residence. Jesus knocking at the door, so I had to let him in. Food for my soul, I don't gotta live by bread again. It's that 66, that old and new testament. Jesus, he the king, that's very different from a president. Said it, we believe it, we don't go, that's how we stepping in. Your word, that's the law, that's the code, that's what we following. No turning back, I'm falling in, hold on, I'm falling in. Don't do it for the cheese, like I'm lactose intolerant. Know you got what I need, 1-800, calling me. On this side of the rock, I stand, I say that with confidence. Come and get this on the cam, better record all of this. I'm tryna take it higher than I ever been. They like, hello, how you mix the music with the medicine? Light on Thomas Edison. You don't know if you believe, look at my life, it's evidence. Look at my life, it's evidence. Kick the demons out, no, you can't stay up in my residence. Jesus knocking at the door, so I had to let him in. Food for my soul, I don't gotta live by bread again. It's that 66, that old and new testament. Jesus, he the king, that's very different from a president. Said it, we believe it, we don't go, that's how we stepping in. Your word, that's the law, that's the code, that's what we following. Yo, we stepping like the military. Enemy be throwing shots, but we know that he's really scary. They say you get the sweetest juice from the darkest berry, but take heed what you eat or your life gonna be short like February. Yo, this ain't a game, this ain't no Tom and Jerry. Moving fast, but you walking with a mask, Jim Carrey. You might crash, get gone in a flash, like you Allen Berry, Barry Allen. I was moving late night, just like Jimmy Fallon. I was only trying to get the green, just like a chicken salad. I was leaning Mike and Billie Jean until you gave me balance. I was heathen till you started speaking your words like a ballad. Just like Adele, my burden's easy on me. I could tell you broke the chains, now I'm free. I'm tryna take it higher than I ever been. They like, hello, how you mix the music with the medicine? Light on Thomas Edison. You don't know if you believe, look at my life, it's evidence. Look at my life, it's evidence. Kick the demons out, no, you can't stay up in my residence. Jesus knocking at the door, so I had to let him in. Food for my soul, I don't gotta live by bread again. It's that 66, that old and new testament. Jesus, he the king, that's very different from a president. Said it, we believe it, we don't go, that's how we stepping in. Your word, that's the law, that's the code, that's what we following.
And we are back. Let's get right to it.
So I think a big part of breaking any cycle, you have to take the time to slow down and do inventory. I even thinking back on like my parents and I'm sure my grandparents, you get so caught up in just life. I got to do this. I got to go to work. I got to pay the bills. Got to get the kids here. I got to do that. I got to, you know, and you just don't really, you just kind of going and not really taking any kind of inventory on
what's wrong.
What happened. You know, you have a rough year, you have a rough season and, you know, it's just, well, dang, that sucked. And then you go on when I think that something important, and I know both you and I teach this, we have to stop and take inventory. I told my students at the end of the semester, I said, hey, the last day of class, I said, look, if you did not finish this class the way that you intended to, if you, you know, you're not pleased with the grade that you got, all that means is that you just need to take inventory of what led to the outcome you didn't want and try it again next semester. It does not mean that school is not for you. It does not mean that you're not intelligent. It does not mean that you do not belong here. It does not mean that this is a subject that you'll never understand. It only means that whatever you did leading up to this result, you just need to reevaluate. And you might have gotten an F this time. You might take it again and get a D. Matter of fact, I had a student, she took my class the first time and she made a D. I was so surprised. She came back to the class and she was like, "You were a good instructor." I mean, I didn't say it, she did. Okay. She was like, "You were good. So I feel like I should have done better. So I'm retake," because she technically it was a pass. She didn't have to retake the class, but she was like, "I want to do better. I think I can do better." And she took the class again and she made a B. And I told her at the end of the semester, "I'm so proud of you," because she looked at, this is all the stuff that I did that led to something that I'm not pleased with. And I think that if we do that more often, we can put a stop to a lot of things. But oftentimes we're not even evaluating what led to it. We're just kind of taking, we're only examining the fruit, right? We only look at the person that did it, right? We only look at, man, that person in the family is a bum. They ain't never got no money. And if you look at it where, well, their father didn't have any money either. Their parents never bought a home, or they never brought anything that was going to leave a legacy for their children. So that is a generational curse of poverty.
Yeah.
They don't know how to get money. They don't know how to keep money. They don't know how to manage money. That is a curse. That is something to take inventory of and say, let me make sure I'm sticking to a budget. Let me align myself so that I'm in the career that is going to help me to take care of my family. Let me sit down with my partner at the end of every quarter or the end of the year, and we look at our finances and our budget together and say how we need to reassess it. But most people are not doing that. We're just living. We're just doing stuff. And then we continue to complain about the way that things are, when complaining doesn't change anything. It never has. But in order for us to break anything that we're not pleased with, or that most important is not pleasing to him, mm-hmm. we got to stop and take inventory. So can you talk about inventory, Coach Bree?
Yes. Let me talk about mindset really quick.
Yes, go.
So speaking of how we are operating in the same cycles and then we complain about it, our brains are built to protect us, right? Mm. So anything that feels foreign, anything that doesn't feel right, our mind is just like, I ain't doing that. I'm going to stay right here because this is comfortable. This is where I find comfort. This is what's safe. So I'm not going to step out of this comfort zone. It takes for us to realize that we have more power than we think we do.
Yeah.
Over our minds. We think that we're powerless. And that's what the enemy wants us to think, right? When we get the racing thoughts and we get the I'm just going to stay here, I'm never going to be good enough, the limiting beliefs, that's where the enemy wants us to be.
Slow down.
And whenever we are in that place, the enemy thinks he's won. We have to take our power back. If we want to change the narrative, if we want to break the generational curses, if we want to break the cycle, it starts with you. Literally, it starts with you. When you think about inventory, now to the next point, it's looking at what you have, right? Okay, this is everything that I have. Now, what in this do I have that I don't need? You start taking it out. Okay, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need that. But you do have to replace it with something because to keep your stock up. You know what I'm saying? There has to be something that you're replacing it with. So if you're taking out complaining, you should replace it with gratitude every day. I'm going to vow not to complain today. Instead, I'm going to just, man, I'm thankful that I can see. I'm thankful that I can wake up with a house with lights. I'm thankful that I have a car to drive. I'm thankful for my health. I have legs. I can walk. When you're thinking about your inventory, what's in your stock? What do you have? Take out the stuff that you don't need. It's one of those things where you want to keep the stock up. Because if you start running out, like spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, when you start to feel defeated and depleted of those, you start to run dry. You have to continue to keep that inventory up. Spiritually, what are you doing spiritually? You have time with God. Do you have a supportive group around you? Hey, let's pray together. mentally, what are you doing to feed your mind? What are you focusing on? What are you intentionally doing?
So in closing, what do we feel like people should know about what can empower them to break generational curses? Or if they feel like, hey, I do have the awareness. The things that we complain about, that's a sign that you're aware, right?
Yeah.
I do have awareness that this is a pattern in my family. What do we leave them with?
One of the first things, and you spoke on it earlier in Ephesians, like we're at war.
Every
like
day.
It's, we have to arm ourselves literally every day. It's not a physical war. I mean, I know people out there fighting, but literally we're being attacked in our minds first. It's mentally first. And if the enemy can get you mentally, he's got you. So when it comes to what can I do to break the generational curse, it's to fight back. Like literally fight back. Like boo boo, black eye.
Right. Like hit back.
Fight. Stand up. Yourself.
Come on, Craig. Get up, Craig.
Oh good. Yes. That like that kind of fight.
Yeah.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Get your power back. The enemy wants you to think that you took a L.
Yeah.
And even if you got a black eye, it's okay. Get up, put some ice on it.
Because you're going to get bruised up.
You're going to get bruised. It's going to hurt.
It's not easy.
It is very uncomfortable to break a generational curse. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's not just for one person either.
No. It is very uncomfortable to just say, you know what? I know that things have been this way, but I don't want to do it that way. You're going to be judged a little bit. You're going to be talked about. So what? So what? Who cares? What do you want to see done differently? And are you going to be intentional about saying, you know what? Self said, huh, let's do something else. Let's do something different. So I encourage everyone, if you are wanting to break the cycle, break the strongholds, break the mental chains that are on your mind, be intentional. Just do it. Take your power back. Fight back, literally. And I mean in the word of God. I mean by speaking up and using your words. It starts with us. And we have to be the change. We can't just talk about it any longer. It's not just a talk. It's action. That's what I leave y'all with. What about you?
I mean, what else is there to say? I'll find it. Yeah, I mean, the power source, and again, generational curses are not an easy thing to break, and I don't believe that they're on one person. It takes several generations for certain things to come off, but I think it's like a relay race, like do your part, and the ultimate source of the strength that we are going to need is found in Christ. We are going to fall short daily. Get back up. When you feel like I'm tired of getting back up, get back in that word. Be reminded of who you've come from, who you are, what God says that you are, and get back up. As long as you have breath in your body, there is still an opportunity to turn things around for your family. Because guess what? We ain't been wiped off the earth yet. I don't know how close we are to it.
Okay.
You know, to the nuclear wars and all the craziness, but we're still here, and there are generations that are also coming after us. There's already generations coming after us. If you're a parent already, a grandparent already, if you are still here, I don't care if you was beating all your kids upside the head their whole life. If you're still here, you have an opportunity to turn things around. That's it, y'all. But we love y'all. We hope that this year is everything that God says it is. We hope that everything that has your name on it, everything that is for you this year, that you receive it. And we hope that you cling to him like never before, because we're also going to need him a lot this year, even more than last year. So we love y'all, and we appreciate y'all for rocking with us. And stay tuned, because this year is going to be good.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, did you enjoy this discussion and want to hear more? Connect with us on Instagram at Real Refined Podcast.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, because we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot a shot. I'm coming in hot. Yeah, coming in hot, just like the fajita. I write what I live, my life in the speaker. I'm nice with the flow, just like the demeanor. I'm feeding my fam, I'm feeding the meter. They got the iron while I got the steamer. I bring the fire, but you never seen her. I testify, I don't need a subpoena. They want my soul, better go to Korea. I love my dog just like I'm Peter. Gotta protect him. I made the call, it was just like I'm reffing. I know we left, yeah, now we back together. But I guess that is better now, later than never. Like, what's happening? I'ma need y'all, quit asking when. Me and my wife gon' have some kids. Right now, we just practicing. Practicing. Teacher said, quit rapping, man. That gon' hurt my average. I said, thank God I ain't average. Yeah. I'm a bright young man, kill the GPA, and the BPM. Look, we on, so say what you say, cause that's A with Lecrae, from the A train to the A. I'm coming in hot. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac, I shoot the shot. I'm coming in hot.
Wake him up. See him still sleeping, so I had to shake him up. I kept it too real. Yeah. I wasn't faking up. No. My real life was a headline. Your real life got a deadline. My timeline was a hashtag. Yeah. Your timeline just a hate crime. Coming in hot. Yeah. Feeling like Pac. Yeah. Back in 94 when he took 5 shots. Too much drive to ride your wave. Ditch my top and I'm off that lot. Black on black. You don't have to ball a rap to get them racks on racks. No. Uber poolers trying to catch my vibe and find my way. Yeah, I know I'm ratchet, but I'm really safe. Hot sauce dripping. Everybody wanna start dipping. Yeah. First, nobody wanna listen. Now everybody pay attention. Now everybody pay a fee. Even Trump gotta take a knee. When the horn blow, y'all gon' see. Make the wall fall down like, yee. I don't do the most, but I do a lot. I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive. No big, I feel like Pac. I shoot the shot. I'm coming in hot.